The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And we are back. We've kind of been doing this thing by happenstance where we've had on previous guests that, you know, whether it was requested by some of our listeners or just Maddie and I loved having some conversations with them. And when we started doing this, you know, I've been calling this Guy Fieri's like fan favorites. Mm-hmm. One of the first names Maddie said was, "We got to get Saurabh Singh back on." It was just such an incredible conversation we had back in February, and it's been an amazing, crazy year for Saurabh. So welcome back. We are thrilled to have you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I asked multiple times, I believe. I was like, we got to get him back. Because I knew you were, you know, wrapping up and you were crazy busy. And I was like checking out for when the tour was going to end. I was like, we got to get him back as soon as that's over just to chat. Because we had such a blast last time. It was like such an easy conversation. We could have easily done 2 hours and it would have been maybe not the greatest listen for anybody, but it would have been a lot of fun to do it. So yeah, man, stoked for you for this year. And I'm glad to have you back on.
Thank you guys for having me. I feel honored to make the Guy Fieri cut.
Yeah.
Easy. Best of.
Yeah. And you're not even like that 2 minute segment, right? That he has where he doesn't, you don't even get to see the full,
you get the whole show, recipe, full episode.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's been a wild year for you. You've been touring, you know, we're following you on Instagram and you've been, whether it's Australia, you've been throughout Europe, traveling with Muna. And that's, you know, been a phenomenal tour. Tell us a little bit about the tour. Tell us a little bit about your travels. Like how has the year been?
It's been awesome. It's so crazy that like, even when you said Australia, I kind of forgot that was this year.
Yeah.
For some reason and even that we spoke, I was trying to remember when we spoke, but it was this year. I didn't know if it was even last year, but it's been awesome. I mean, you know, Australia first of all was amazing for anyone who's, have you guys been down there before?
No,
nope.
No. Oh, it's so like it. I know people would say, oh, you have to go there, but it is amazing. I mean, it's not like if you go to, you know, Germany or Japan or something, you're kind of just like, whoa, everyone's speaking a different language or everyone. Yeah. It's not like that because they all speak English and it's sort of, it's like another version of California or something or, but it is incredible. Culturally, it's amazing. And like the whole beach culture and there's just a feel to the place. But that was an incredible thing. We did, I think it was like Muna's first headline show ever over there and it sold out in like a few minutes. And so, and it was kind of like a smaller, like a maybe 1,000 person room. And it was just very like the energy was kind of popping off because it was a smaller show for them. And then we did a bunch of dates supporting Lorde, who's awesome. And, nice. And I have some like longtime friends in that camp and those shows are just really cool. Cause she's huge over there. Yeah. And that was kind of like, yeah, that's really how the year started. So we did that. And then we came back and it just started, what did we do after that? Oh, I think maybe we started getting ready for coach. Ah, there we start. Yeah, oh, you know what? The first thing we did after, it was like, we had a break and then we had the, and then we just like got, I think we got like dropped into an Eras tour show, maybe. I can't remember if that was
like May.
Yeah, is that when it started? I don't even remember.
Know. This summer's been so wild. You're right. You know, it's been like a long one.
I think maybe we did like, did we do Coachella? Because we did Coachella too. It was sort of like there was just like a lot of sort of milestone types of things for them and for me too. I'd done Coachella before, but it was still like, it felt kind of extra special doing it with them. And then obviously there was all the Taylor stuff that was like, it was funny with that, because I think there was one Taylor show plopped like the first weekend that she opened the tour in Dallas. And we did like one of those.
Yeah.
And then we didn't do one again for like months. So it was kind of like, here's the like biggest show in the world and you're going to do it. And then you're not going to do it again for months. And everybody was like, what is that? Just, we just do that? Or did it not actually happen? Or what the hell just happened? Yeah, it was very surreal, but it's been.
Well, I'm curious, like, right. Both with Muna and obviously with Taylor, like it's grown, in terms of like when you were last out probably touring. And I'm curious the changes both with Muna and, and then you did the Reputation tour before, and then like how the vibe was different between both, if you don't mind kind of.
Yeah. I mean, no, dude, that is it, that, you know, and that's the thing that everyone I saw on the Taylor tour, like almost all the people that I, cause when I did rep, the rep tour, that was like about an 8 month thing. And for that tour, she had like the same openers for the whole tour. It was Charlie XCX who I was with, and then Camila Cabello. And so we were just, and we, you know, I flew on the, we all flew on the Taylor plane. Not, I mean, she has her own jet, but everybody else, like the crew and band and everything, are on this like really like beat up charter plane. Actually, it's called Swift Air. Although they don't own it. I know. As far as I know, they don't own it, but it's really hilarious because you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be on the like Taylor Swift plane. You get on there and you're like, this thing is a piece of shit.
But it's still like, got to be better than getting crammed into a plane with a bunch of randos, right?
Oh my God, dude, it is. Yeah. And also you guys have probably done this. I'm sure some of your listeners have, like the, you know, those little like smaller airports where it's like a private plane. And that is so much better. And you just like walk right on. And, so I kind of like, I became close with a bunch of the people, and a bunch of them were there this year. So it was really fun to see all of them.
Cool.
And she mainly keeps all the same people, but yeah, talking to them and talking to even, some other friends that I have that had seen that tour about the differences was interesting. I mean, I do think that the Eras tour obviously was like very awe-inspiring, and it was 3.5 hours long, and it almost felt like watching a, kind of like a theater production. Like there's, you know, even as you walk along backstage, I remember the first day that we were just kind of like walking through and everything. It's, you just see like set pieces everywhere, and they do, and those things
like
kind of like a movie. Yeah. Like a movie or like a theater production. And they kind of are like wheeled out, and they did some, they were kind of doing some really incredible things where some of that stuff like would, like a tree would sort of open up from the middle of the stage and kind of blossom into like a big forest tree. But then what they would do is the video wall, and they always have like the latest kind of LED wall technology, very hyper real looking, would kind of like fill in the rest of the scene. So you'd have like some practical effects on the stage, which made it feel really three dimensional. And then the screen would have, so like, you know, they always up the technology. That they had amazing, I mean, they had amazing tech on the last one too, but this one, you know, they're able to push it forward. It's 5 years further down, so like technology has advanced more. But I will say, as a show, I think like this show was very long and drawn out, and she hit all the different albums, and so it wasn't just like banger, 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 banger. It was kind of there were the more acoustic, folky things. So it was sort of like, it kind of moved and meandered in a good way. Reputation was shorter, and just that record was a really hard hitting kind of pop record.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends what your taste is, which one you would prefer. I think Eras is probably more awe inspiring, but I think maybe as a fan of her music, I might've actually liked the Reputation tour more. Not to knock the,
Eras tour
at all, but just different. Yeah.
Those sets are so elaborate. And I know it's like one of those dumb questions you ask if you don't live in this world, but it's like, how the hell do they move that stuff all around the world? Like,
I know
it's so elaborate, those sets. And like, how much time do they even have to set those up from place to place, a day or two?
I know. Yeah. No, it's a good question. I mean, I think honestly, it probably takes like a week. And what they do is they have like an A rig and a B rig. They had basically like A, B, Start. And like C and a half.
Yeah.
So they had, one full for the next city, and then they had a half rig for the city after that. And basically, when the tour was happening, football season was not happening. Most of those stadiums were open. That's why usually, like, you know, obviously, like, she would never be touring in like the fall and stuff like that. You know, you'll never see a tour like that. Same with Beyonce, I think.
It's too big. And you can't do those anywhere but a stadium.
You can't do them anywhere but a stadium. Yeah. Yeah. That's and crazy. They're in, I think they're in South America now. Yeah. There was sort of a little bit of talk about us doing the Europe run this year, but it didn't happen. She's got, I think, Paramore maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
I mean, she put so many people on, like you were mentioning earlier, all the acts that she has open for her over the years. Yeah. And I don't know how you quantify this, and I'm sure you guys have, and I'm sure this is a conversation that's been had, but like, I would imagine the band is like seeing an uptick too in interest. Just, I've noticed people, I go to shows and there's somebody opening I've never heard of before, and then I just start listening to that music. That's kind of organically how it happens. So does this open up, this must open up more doors too for you, right? Like it's putting you in a spot where there's now more opportunity for you because of that exposure.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I saw the three Munas last night, the three of them. And I was talking to one of them about how they each have like over 100,000 Instagram followers now. When I met them, they had like, you know, the band had less, and then each of them individually had less. And I think after the Taylor stuff, I mean, people just, you know, they research everything all about the band. They're fast. So they have grown. Their numbers grew a lot. You know, it's not, I think maybe back in the 90s, it was, I think in, you know, when we were growing up, everything was
the only way.
It was the only way, and everything was more deliberate. Like in the 90s, like if you'd see a band on David Letterman, it would that one thing would be like really significant for that artist. And the way the landscape is now, like you could do SNL or a late show or something, and it's still meaningful, and it does help your guarantees a lot. Booking agents can use it to get you other press, but it's not like, oh, we've done this thing and now we've made it. And it's the same with opening slots. I think they used to be a little bit more meaningful. Obviously, opening for Taylor is like a very unique one, because what she does is she really promotes the artists. They're a really big part of the experience. So even for us doing the shows, the minute we show up, the crew is like, as soon as they're done handling their sound check, they just want to make sure that we sound great, that our thing is looking great. Like it's not like, oh yeah, like no one cares about you, we're just here for Taylor, like you do whatever you want. Like they really, you know, her parents are always, her dad comes out for sound check, and he's, you know, they all just care that the show from like the minute people walk in till the minute they leave is like, is really high level and really good. And so it's unique. Other acts that I won't say their names that I've done, I've opened with Muna or with other people, they're just, you know, sometimes they don't care, or the crews don't care. You're an afterthought. Yeah. So, you know, the Taylor thing is really special in that regard.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what everybody, you know how it is with like sports stars, like athletes, celebrities, musicians. There's the behind the curtain version of them, and then there's the version that the world sees.
Yeah.
And I feel like she is one of those people who you kind of get the same version in both spots, just like a genuinely pure, kind, thoughtful person. And I don't know that you can say that about the vast majority of people who find fame, because obviously it corrupts you, but I mean, did you get some opportunities to spend any time with her on tour?
Dude, no, I did. You know, that was a big difference between the last one when you guys asked that. Yeah, like so the rep tour, it felt like obviously she was big and she was a superstar, but there wasn't like a frenzied craziness. This one had this like crazy frenzied feeling to it, and you know, she wasn't even around, so like they would wheel her to stage. It kind of went, I think it went on TikTok or whatever,
in the boxes,
in like a cleaning supply closet. And you know, the first few times it rode by us, I didn't notice, and then I didn't see it, but somebody I was with like saw her pop out of it, and they were like, oh my god, she like goes in that. I think it was like in Dallas, like the very first show. And the on rep, she would, they didn't really do any of that. I mean, she was very fond of Charlie, who I was playing with. So she would come in our green room and just kind of like hang out, and she watched the World Cup with us. And I mean, she's so sweet. I saw her parents all the time this time and last time too. Her dad's always kind of just like hanging around being like a Larry David character.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a great guy. They're all so great. But she was like this one, she was definitely kind of sectioned off, and she wasn't, you know, the Munas spent some time with her, and she gave them like really beautiful gifts and like really handwritten notes at each show. And she's, you know, she's from Lancaster, Mike.
Yeah, right.
She,
I know.
Yeah. They're Eagles fans. And even when I talked to her dad, he's like a Merrill Lynch. He's like a Philly investment banker guy. And he's like, oh yeah, like our whole family's from Philly. And so they feel like they're from the main line, which is you know, where Mike and I,
we grew up in the Kellys, Joe Kelly, and his family used to take me to Lancaster to like the pretzel factory. So it's big there. But
make good pretzels there.
So you know, you guys are kind of winding down, or you've completed the Muna tour. And we were talking a little bit backstage about now it's like getting back into the studio, creating again. Is there like what's the difference in terms of like your focus, and is there a different type of, you know, action that you're going through as a drummer too, right? Like, are you trying different things? Or is it more habitual? Like, I'm curious to sort of get your mindset when you're thinking about creating versus, you know, touring.
Yeah. That's a good question. Well, you know, I will say, so for Muna, so it's a band, but the band is really the three of them. I'm like a touring member. So when they make a record, it's usually just the three of them. This is the first record they'll have been making since I started playing with them. So they are going to have me play on it and stuff like that. But the way that like a band like this makes a record versus the way that a band like when we were growing up makes a record is that like things, you know, back at that point, like, you know, like Stone Temple Pilots or I don't know, whatever bands are popular when we were in high school, it was like, you know, you'd all just go in the studio and play and record takes, you know? And I think, you know, nowadays the process of making a record is so different because especially with a band like Muna, so much of the sound is electronic and it's like a digital kind of sound that they sort of are in a really kind of similar to a lot of Taylor's music, actually. Like, it's kind of a good example of some of it's like pop country, some of it's more dance oriented. So like there'll be EDM elements, but then you still will hear like acoustic guitars and you'll hear live drums sometimes too. So I think for this next record, it's hard to say what direction they're going to want to go in, but I think if I had to guess, they'll do more of what people love about them, which is like, if you go to a Muna show, you'll kind of catch a few different vibes. Like part of it will sound like the Dixie Chicks, and part of it will sound like a really more shiny type of like electronic pop like element.
Yeah. Which is on our summer playlist. My daughter wore that song out.
That's so cute. I know. And that's like such a night. That's kind of a 90s throwback, really. Yeah. It's kind of like Kiss Me or something like that, you know?
Very true.
6 months on the Richer. But you know, so as far as my involvement with them, you know, I'm not sure what the process is that they'll want to do. I know Naomi, who produces it, had mentioned wanting to sort of like our band, when we play with, you know, our bass player, who's also like me, a sort of touring guy. When the two of us play with the three of them, there is sort of like a sound that has happened at this point that people really like. So part of it, you know, I think part of the plan is to like record something akin to what we do when we play live and kind of capture that, and then see where it goes, and then they can manipulate and process it. But then I imagine part of it will also be very deliberate, where like, you know, they might record me or the bass player doing like kind of an isolated particular thing that they'll then sort of slot into a beat that's already been halfway made or something like that. You know, there's kind of like, it's an amazing time with music production, where there's a lot of different ways to get to an end result. Like, you can sort, I mean, Taylor's a good example of it too, not to keep coming back to her, but it's sort of like some stuff is, she's kind of fascinating because of like such a, like what a genre chameleon she's become.
Yeah.
And what you really see in the Eras Tour. Cause
and it, the crossovers yeah. she's done, like she's done yeah. stuff with like massive, like, didn't she do a bunch of stuff with Future? Like she crosses yeah, she into did. Spots where like yeah, you would exactly. never expect her. Yeah.
Yeah. I always forget that there's a Future verse on one of those, yeah. on one of those.
Big Reputation, I think.
It right? is. But yes, it is. That's exactly right. Damn. Maddie with yeah. the.
I know.
It's a good song. Puts out good music. Listen, we talked.
She does.
Gibby has mentioned multiple times about our conversation around guilty pleasures. Now they're just pleasures.
So
that's true.
Sarah, yeah. you coined it. We did a whole like favorite yeah. TV show.
We credited you.
We would normally call guilty pleasures. And we did like a draft. We did like a tournament. And they were just my pleasure shows. And so
there's is that something I said?
Yeah. You said it. Oh, wow. If you That's and funny. You know, you're too modest and humble to do this, but if you were to Google yourself, you could probably find the clip of that. And I think
it's one of the clips. We clipped one of them. Yeah, because it was good.
Oh,
was good
wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just my pleasure. And I think The Office yeah. won it, but Law and Order SVU came in second.
Yeah,
you
oh,
did
wow.
your best. Yeah.
Damn.
We won't talk about all the shows that were listed there. There are some ones that might be guilty pleasures, but so I'm curious too, like when you're out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I know I asked you this last time, but like there has to be like I am playing in front of 50,000 people, whether, and in Australia, is there a time when you like have over this last year where you've pinched yourself or you're like, I cannot yeah. actually believe this. I'm shaking to a degree.
Oh, dude. I mean, yeah. I mean, the Taylor shows that's, you know, like I always feel that to it's never lost on me. I mean, maybe there's a few years in my 30s or early 30s where it was, you know, I was just like, yeah, like this is what's supposed to happen or some yeah. stupid thing like that. But now at 41, it's not lost on me.
Yeah.
Like how cool of a thing it is just to even be out there doing it on any stage, honestly.
Yep.
But the Taylor stuff obviously was like a, you know, with how big the whole thing felt like before, you know, the way the like run of show works for that day is like you sound check and then you do catering and all that. And then a few hours go by and you kind of like get ready for the show and you kind of like, by the time that you go back out on the stage, like it's like the doors are open and they have the intermission music and it's like, and now it's showtime,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so curtain. Once you get back and what you do is, you know, when you're ready and you get dressed, you get kind of like carted to the stage and you're walking to the stage and there's like all these crew and all these people and like, they all know that you're like, you know, one of the people, you've got your in-ears in, it's like, they know you're about to play. And so as you're walking onto the stage, like you're kind of on the side and there's like a guy with a headset and he comes over and he's like, 5 minutes, everyone, 5 minutes. And it's like, it's pretty, that's when you're just like, oh damn, this yeah. is about to happen. And
yeah.
you just look out and you see all those people. And some of those stadiums are so like the one in, which one was really, oh, Denver is like,
yep,
it's built really high up. And yeah. so some of them, when they're like that, you're just like, whoa, mama, that's high up there. And
yeah.
you start looking around and then like, you know, they're just like 10 seconds and they're, you know, they're about to do it. And definitely you, I mean, I have routine. I just disassociated for a handful of them because I was just like,
yeah.
it's like too much and I can't even handle
just
it.
Just relying on instincts at that point.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, completely. And then at the end, you're just like, did that happen? What yeah. happened? I think it happened. But I definitely, you know, obviously for sure I pinched myself. And I, you know, one thing that was really funny was I didn't like, since the band is the Three Munas, sometimes I just think like, oh, like, cause there are these huge screens and these camera right. and these camera guys, they, you know, they're filming the thing and I'm like, oh, they're not going to show me. I'm like not technically in the band and I'm just a drummer. But like, man, after the very first show, I didn't realize it, but I just saw pictures and videos and someone told me after, they're like, dude, they keep cutting back to you. And I think the reason is that like on those big things, they often cut to the drummer because the everyone's running around so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maddie, you guess. Yeah. They just like, I'm not. So it's like when they need to, like,
they
when they lose everybody, they just lock back into the drummer. And it's also very visual. and you can see it. So they kept cutting back to me, and I kind of, it took me a little bit to I got this guy, do you guys know Noah Kahan or Noah Kahan?
Yeah, he's from he's from like the next town over from where I'm at.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
okay. Which is in, are you, you're near Boston?
So I'm near Boston. Yeah. He's just, he's just, I think he's from either Watertown or it's like one of those towns, right? I'll have to look it up, but he's from right around here. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Like he kind of feels like he would be from New England a little bit.
Yeah.
He was at one of the shows and he would just like took a selfie and we were playing, and the selfie he took, I was like, you know, just some like ridiculous, like picture of me is up on the big screen. And I had so many friends message me after. They're like, yo, you're a Noah Kahan story or whatever. I didn't even really know who he was. And I was like, I don't know who that is. But then I was like, oh, my God, he's got like millions of followers. But, you know, they just, so I had to remind myself at a certain point. I was like, you're nervous, but don't look nervous because the camera keeps showing. Because at first I was like, they're not showing
more
me.
You,
I can.
The more you're thinking about it, the more it's kind of like when you're doing something, you know, you shouldn't be doing out in the world and you assume everybody's watching you do it, but nobody's paying any attention.
Nobody's paying attention. But then on that thing, I was like, no, they keep showing me up there.
You were jamming. It's they like, had to see it.
But no, I pinched myself with those shows and all the shows. Like we just did two headlining shows at the Greek Theater here in LA, which is like a really beautiful venue. And it's kind of like in the woods, and for anybody that like lives in LA or has come out here to see music, it's a very like iconic and sort of important, it's kind of like a rite of passage if you live in LA. And I'd played it before with a few other people, but it felt very special doing it with these guys, and for sure that was like a pinch the moment thing. And my niece got to come, and my mom was there, and my dad was there, and my brother and my sister-in-law. It was like a very, it was very cool to, yeah. And they, and you know, they love the band and stuff like that. So it was really, it was very special, you know?
That's awesome. I was wrong on Noah Kahan. He's from Vermont. I'm thinking of somebody
else. Oh, gotcha. Well, that's not too far though. I mean, that's the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your dad still doubling back on the catering, the buffet? at the shows
oh my gosh, good memory, holy smokes, dude. It's funny you ask that, Mike, because yes, he, so at the Greek they have like a really beautiful backstage, and I forgot that they even had catering, and he walked in, there was like chicken wings and this and that, and he just made a damn beeline for it. And then he, my mom and I were sitting in the back while the openers were on, and he just disappeared at some point. She's like, I don't know where your dad went. And I immediately was like, I mean, dude, you know where he went. Like, you've been married to him for like forever. And I walked back into the room and there he was, just like, his chicken wings are like really good. I'm like, damn, dude, slow down, man. Damn.
I'm not sure I could hold up either. Cause it's just like, I have a friend who went to high school with a dude who manages Revolution, the band Revolution.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is it like a reggae band?
It's like a reggae rock band, yeah. They opened a lot for like They're Slightly cool. Stupid. It's like that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And there was a show many, many years ago I went to here in Boston at the Harbor that they got us in. It was me and another friend. We went backstage and got to kind of experience a very small version of this. But it's like another world back there. You just hang out. There's food. There's drinks. There's like anything you want. Like you go to shows traditionally to like watch the show. But then I feel like when you're a part of the actual experience backstage, it's sort of like a carnival. You're just floating around. There's like so many things you can do. Like there's tour buses in the back where guys are playing dominoes. Like there's just tons of stuff going on. And like you're used to being, that was the one thing I was like, I'm here to see this show. I'm locked in on the show. But that was very much like a small version of, I think, what you're describing. It's like there's just so much you can get into that isn't even the show.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, I mean, listen, who doesn't love free food and free booze? I mean, I know I do.
That's across the board. Yeah. Yeah. I respect his
universally word. Loved.
Universally loved. Yeah.
What was my question? I was thinking about all the free food and booze. I got excited. Yeah, in terms of like upcoming shows, or as you're going into next year, are there things that like if you have on a bucket list, like whether it's, you know, Coachella, like there's Burning Man, there are these festivals. Is there a show or a venue that is on your list of like, I really, really want to play there at some point?
Let me think. You know, I mean, the one place like I would We did Madison Square Garden like maybe a month and a half ago. And when we were opening, but it was still, we had done it once before when we were opening for Kacey Musgraves, but that was, we were first of three and it was kind of like not that cool. And we were sort of an afterthought. And then, not because of Kacey, she's wonderful, but just the way that show went and stuff like that. But this last one that we did, we were like direct support for a band called Boy Genius, who are like doing really well right now. And so that was amazing. Cause that was like, it really felt like we played like a proper set. We had our production design, we had our lighting designer there. They really gave us, you know, and I grew up a huge Phish fan. So like I'd seen Phish and MSG, and that was just very rad to just be on that stage and feel kind of some of that. I did get to check that off. I think the only venue that it would be cool to like really rock properly in like a meaningful way would be the Hollywood Bowl, which I haven't gotten to do. I went and saw my friend plays drums with Sting, so I got to see him do that recently. And I went to the Death Cab for Cutie Postal Service, like 20-year. They did it like a 20-year tour, kind of, because Transatlanticism and Give Up, which are both like meaningful records for both of those projects. They hit their 20-year thing. So I went to that show, and it was very cool to be there, and it sounded so good. It's a really beautiful sounding venue. So that is something I would love to do. I mean, for Muna, if they continue on the level they're at, that would be the next stop for them. I mean, that's a barely, actually it's not, they kind of sold about 14, maybe 12 or 13,000 tickets for this last Greek show. So I think the next album cycle they do, I imagine they might take a shot at the Hollywood Bowl.
I have a question about that now that you mentioned that. So when booking these venues, like that one, for instance, which is obviously iconic, is it a popularity thing? Is it like how many tickets can you actually sell? Like, is that come into play? Like, do you have to cross a certain threshold before that venue will consider you to play?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, yeah. You know, it's that the whole like booking agents. So they're with, you know, all these, like every musical act that you go to see has a booking agent. It's usually like the Agency Group or William Morris or CAA, a lot of the same agencies that represent actors. So actually it's literally all the same agencies that represent actors. So, but, they do factor in all that. They usually look at past tours and they see numbers. I think they probably see tickets sold. And I imagine they also look at how many actually showed up. Cause now post COVID, that's sort of a big thing too. And then, cause that also impacts like alcohol sales.
Oh, true.
Merch and like all that stuff. Yeah. And all these venues, they take a pretty big cut of the merchandise, which is sort of a kind of a thing that most artists don't really feel too good about. Some of them take like up, you know, like 25%, something pretty high.
That's crazy.
And most of these artists, they, you know, you really, the merch is a pretty big.
Yeah, they're already taking so much of the, like they're taking all the food and beverage and I think a big chunk of the ticket. Like,
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you need the venue and you know, for any of your listeners who work at a venue or anything like that, No disrespect for sure. I get it. But
we don't have any.
No, we don't want them anyway.
But yeah, they do look at all that for sure. And then, you know, and then as it's coming, they'll look at, you know, if you just release a new album, they probably have other metrics that I don't know about. Although there's only a handful that are really available, like your streaming numbers and your prior sales and things like that. And then they get a sense of they also, I think, look at like what your PR team is capable of, because so much of ticket sales
in terms of promoting and
exactly
getting the word out there.
So
we had a guest on last week with Band of Heathens.
You were telling me that.
And it was so cool, and gracious too, in terms of, you know, I asked the question around like what artists he saw on tour this year. I'm curious if there are any artists, whether it's new music that you've, you know, stumbled across in the past year, whether it's on tour or it's just on your Spotify hit list, or, you know, musicians that you've been, you know, really a big fan of over the years, but are listening to more frequently.
Well, as far as just like what I saw that I loved, probably my favorite artist that I sort of fell in love with on the tour was the act playing right before us on the Taylor tour. Her name is Gracie Abrams. And she's actually been nominated for Best New Artist for the Grammys. Wow. And I had a few friends who played in her band, so I was kind of like keyed in on it anyway, but I hadn't heard her music, so I didn't know how amazing she really was. And you know, she's, her dad is JJ Abrams, and so like, yep, people kind of, I think people weren't, you know, you kind of sometimes, at least out here in LA, that can go either way, where people are like, oh, you know, they're only popular because it's the
backlash, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, she is, in addition to being the kindest, most beautiful person, she inside and out, she's, her music's amazing. She's just an absolutely breathtaking songwriter and performer, and totally mesmerizing. And so I loved them. There was this other guy, I'm trying to see if I can pull up what his, he was a blues guitar player, and I was at Bonnaroo. Let me see what his name was. I'll never find it. It's, he had a nickname, and I've already forgotten it.
We'll find it for you. We'll do that.
Yeah, okay.
We'll do,
yeah,
it. I'll look at Bonnaroo.
I'm umming and ahhing. But he was,
we got nothing but time.
He had this awesome nickname, and I just was walking around and I watched his set, and I took video and sent it to a friend of mine who's a guitar player, and I was like, dude, this guy's insane. He was like, oh, that's like whatever. I want to say like Stingray. His name was something like that.
That's a pretty cool name.
It is a cool name.
Let's keep him that other way once we find him.
He was amazing. There was a super cool band that played after us when we played in Mexico that I really liked. They're called Always. I think they're nominated for a Grammy too this year. But they're super cool. I mean, left to my own devices, I listen to a lot of jazz fusion stuff, kind of like geekier stuff that inspires me a lot as like a composer and a drummer and things like that. So I haven't even been keeping up that as much this year with new stuff, but you're right. Like when you're out doing shows, you do, especially at festivals, is when you really see stuff. Cause you don't even necessarily know, and you're just like, what's this band? And often they're really good.
There's so much good music. There's
a lot right now.
Do you feel like, this is a hard question to answer, but you'd be close enough to it to potentially know, do you feel like this is some sort of like a golden age for music as a whole, or are we kind of on the same trajectory that music has always been on?
I think it is. I mean, you know, I think they say that a lot about TV and film, right? Mm-hmm. That because of streaming. So I think it's the same thing with, I do think it's the same thing with music. I think a big part of that is because it used to be access. Yeah. It used to be that you had to, yes, exactly. You used to have to go into a studio, and now you don't, you can just have like a full studio in your backpack on your laptop. And so that has really changed everything. And I mean, you can buy like a DAW digital audio workstation for a couple $100 and you can make like a number one song if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I do think so. I think I have decades, like late 70s and 80s is sort of my favorite decades of music. Not just because I'm a 40 something, but I think, you know, a lot for some of the Munas who are all like 30, I think like we have that in common. There was the 80s were a really special time because it was, actually Questlove said this, it they were kind of the most important decade, whether or not you agree with it. Stylistically, it was the decade where the advent of synthesizers and technology and music came about.
Yep.
And drum machines and
so many elements of songs now come from that too.
It's still, even though it's all shifted, you know, like you can have a virtual version, it's called a VST, virtual version of an analog synthesizer, a hardware based synthesizer, but it's still the sort of the architecture of it and the way that the synthesis and the processing works is the same way it worked when you were on an analog piece of hardware. So even though now everything is laptop based and all the hip hop that you hear, all those electronic elements are just made on a laptop and Fruity Loops or Ableton Live or something like that, the the essence of what it is, it's all still based off of like Roland drum machines that were made and that were pioneered in the 80s. So, and I just love the songwriting from that era and like just kind of tonally the way a lot of that music sounds. But there is still so much amazing stuff being made now. I just tend to gravitate back towards that. Part of it's just nostalgia, but I do think it's a golden age. Yeah, me too.
Right. You know, music is tied to memories and
it is. Yeah.
How people associate, you know, a lot of their choices with what they like and what they
saw something the other day. There was some like Jordan Peterson type fella out there who was saying nostalgia is weakness. And I was very angry about that. It made me bad.
Wow. No, I don't. Oh, well, then I'm very, very weak. I'm a weak, weak man.
I know.
Same.
I mean, but I wouldn't have reached out to Sarab after, and I'm still using the previous pronunciation.
But say anything you want.
After, you know, 30 years because of nostalgia. But so, you know, a couple questions, too, that I want to ask before we have to wrap up. One, I know you're an Eagles fan. Mm. Are we turning it around?
No, I mean, I knew you guys were going to ask about that.
Or are you going to defect and just be a Chiefs fan now?
Oh my God. Oh yeah. Well, you know what? It is true. I feel like every Eagles fan, because of Andy Reid, has a little bit of a soft spot.
There's a lot of parallels now.
I will say, I think that I was just watching First Take this morning and I was watching those guys. So I do think that Mahomes and Andy Reid both kind of overreacted about that that happened yesterday.
Dude, there, was 2 yards offsides.
Dude, yeah, it's kind of like, guys, you're being babies.
Yeah, you're a pro. You should be on sides.
Yes, you should be on. Yeah, and suck it up like you lost the game.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think
that
was
baby. And they won that Super Bowl last year because of a terrible call at the end of the game on pass interference that really wasn't.
Oh,
so,
right. Right.
You know, it all comes around.
It does all come around. And, you know, as far as the Eagles go, I've felt all year that they're kind of overrated. Don't hate me if you're an Eagles fan. I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
We won't publish this part.
Yeah, we don't publish Gibby when he's ranting about the Broncos, so we can obviously scrub that for you if you need us to.
That's it. You know what, Mike? I always remember that you were an Elway fan, I feel like.
I still am.
Because I remember I think I told you this last time, but you were always quarterback when we would play those games on the at recess at Valley Forge. Yeah. And you'd like call people out and stuff, but I think I always remember you were like channeling Elway.
I tried to throw across my body, but I think I was 4'2" at the time. So
you were.
He's still doing it in the backyard with the kids. So nothing. Really
Sam has to, you know, run to the left side of the field while I'm running right and try to connect on the 80-yard bomb. It doesn't work.
So fun. That's so funny. I mean, look. I think the Eagles are. People thought they were better than they were, and they've been showed up by like a couple of good, you know, the Niners and are looking amazing. I'm digging the Niners and the Cowboys. I know I'm not supposed to like the Cowboys, but I got to say, like, I like Dak and they're a fun team to watch. And
I agree.
So, you know, I'm not a big Chiefs. I mean, it's, you know, the Taylor thing is hilarious with Kelce and all that stuff's really fun. And they're always fun to watch. Mahomes is like, you know, totally
mesmerizing. But they've done it. They've done it twice already. Give a little break. Like, let the 49ers, Eagles. I'm kind of rooting for the Eagles this year, but
definitely always rooting for the Eagles.
And then
Eagles Broncos could be tough for you.
I don't think we're getting there. Well,
no.
Until we get there. But and then last question, like, you've got hopefully a little bit of time off. Anything that you're looking to do for yourself, like doing? I'm curious, like, when you get off tour, you must be like, holy crap, I'm exhausted. I need to sleep for like 3 days. Or how does it look for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. It's kind of, everyone has like such a different process. I'm one of those people where I rest, but then I weirdly go back into the practice room because I always have like a burst of creativity as a drummer, because it's like when you're a touring musician, you kind of like, you play the same sort of set of music every night and it's very like locked in. And I love having the freedom to just kind of play anything I want and work on. I also always come back from tour, like, you know, spotting a lot of like weaknesses and things that I like feel like I could really improve upon, like in my off season, as it were. It's very similar to sports. But and then I've been like working on, I like composing a lot. So there's a lot of sort of harmony and theory kind of stuff that I'm working through right now. And that's kind of it at the moment. And of course it's the holidays, so I'm trying to like enjoy the fact that it's the holidays, but that's kind of it for the moment. You know, I've got to figure out some other projects to get into and stuff when the year starts. And there, you know, it's a couple of other little things that are sort of poking around. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's mainly that, and then trying to stay healthy too, and like, you know, stretch and keep my body like limber. Especially at this age, you know,
it's tough for over 41.
Hey, you know what though? Stretching it. So I learned that you do more for yourself at this age by just stretching and keeping everything sort of like working than actually going and trying to build muscle. Like you're going to do more for yourself because of how easy it is to injure yourself if you're not. So
I know
that was exciting to hear because stretching is an easy exercise. I like that.
It feels good too. Yeah. My body's just like, I like that. Yeah.
Yep. It's cool that you said, you know, you like to get right back into the studio when you get back too. Because I think Ed Jurdy said something similar to us. He said, like, the gift is the work when you do something like this, when you're an artist. Like, the gift and the value you get out of your time is that you get to keep going. Working. You get to keep working and building, which is a really cool mindset. That's true. It sounds like that's an artist mindset for sure.
Yeah. No, that's a good way that he put it. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much.
It's great to see you, man.
Maddie and I started this a year and a half ago almost. And the hope was that we would sit down with people that we, you know, wanted to catch up with, hear some interesting stories, hear their story in worlds that we don't necessarily know about. And the fact that we've gotten to catch up over, you know, 2 hours, 30 years after probably the last time we've seen you. You know, is a real treat, and it's something, you know, I know our fans were, our listeners were like,
they're both synonymous.
Art was probably, they were like, it was probably my favorite show you guys have done so far. And I was like, really? So, people love listening to your stories and hearing from you. So, thank you for being gracious enough with your time. And,
yeah, man. Thank you. Keep making those stories. We need them. They're fun to hear and talk about.
Hopefully I have something interesting to tell you the next time.
You always do. And if not, otherwise, like I said to Gibby way back when we first did this, like just chatting, hanging out with you is more fun than even having a plan for anything what we're talking about. Like, it's just cool to chill. So it's great to see you thriving, and it's good to see you back again.
Oh, thanks, guys. I feel the very same. So thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
Okay. Thank you.